I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
There's a place where all of your dreams come true. Where the perilous quest is just the thing you do. So grab your horse and join the crew. Down in Vicky's World.
Hello. Welcome back to Vicky's World after, quite a break we've had. We've been busy recording the final arc of Vicky's World, of the main campaign of Vicky's World, and then planning what's to come next. Lots of fun, exciting things. But we've pretty much got to the end of our main arc. If you watch along on our Twitch stream, and the last few episodes we've been recording off air and kind of, you know, just planning some cool secret finale business. Nothing to do with you. You'll find out when the time is right. But I've also been working away and editing up this last arc, but between the previous arc, arc three, and this current arc, Vicky planned a little intermission kind of mini arc called Into the Storm. And basically, if you remember, at the end of arc three, when we left Etienne Regia, we finished kind of our job helping Hearth and Journey, the two gods of Etienne Regia, the twin gods. When we finished that, basically we were at sea on our ship with our crew, and then the fabric of the sky started to fall apart, and a big storm started, and we all kind of vanished at the end of the last arc. Basically, all of the characters, myself, Kataya Khan, who I play, Sally Spearfish, Archie Morgan, and of course Gwathryn, played by Dan Simpson, we all started kind of crackling and warping, and then we all vanished. And now we get to find out where we all went. And I can tell you where we went is into the storm. And what that means, well, you're about to find out. And this is the first of the Into the Storm episodes. This is Gwathryn's interlude. And I'm going to basically hand you over into the very, very, very capable hands of Vicky Hawley and Dan Simpson as they go into the storm. Please enjoy.
Generations ago, the world was swept away by the power of a furious storm. Minutes ago, the same thing happened to you. With the sound of a rattling spinning wheel and the force of the rebirth of an old goddess, reality unravels around you, Gwathryn, threads drifting off into the ether. Cat's hands are no longer on your shoulders as she bends to kiss you. The wooden deck of the Maiden's Revenge is no longer beneath your feet. Everything is thunder and darkness, and you are slammed into a bare, smooth rock by frigid winds. A flash of lightning illuminates the world around you for a brief second. Freezing rain and hail pelts down on you, on a bare, rocky outcrop, battered but alive. What do you do, Gwathryn?
I'd like to try to re-ravel reality, please.
Okay.
is that a sleight of hand check?
Yeah, go ahead and make a sleight of hand check for me.
to tie the strands of existence back together. That's my first
action. Yeah, go ahead and roll that, yeah.
Are you actually going to...
Yeah.
All right, okay. I'm going to go purple because I'm in the storm. It's a purple storm. Sleight of hand check.
Yeah.
It's a 22 to unravel all of existence into a coherent whole and not the chaos we've encountered.
Around you, reality's reraveled, and congratulations, your intervention episode is you on an island with Kat.
Oh, this has been brilliant, Vicky. The highs, the lows. I'm lost for words. That's incredible. Thank you all so much for watching.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah, next week is another event. Okay, I'm assuming I cannot. Re-ravel, I'm sure.
Unfortunately not.
Okay. All right, so I'm on a rocky outcrop and it's bleak. So I just want to take a look around. What can I see around?
Fab, make a perception check.
Yeah. That is... Ooh, that's all right too. 21.
21, very good. Ever observant. Gwathryn, you take a look around. You can see, more or less as far as you can see, the storm is very low. These clouds hang a matter of feet above the ground, not miles. You can see around you there is stony ground scored by centuries of burn marks. Mm. These clouds, you think if you were a medium-sized creature, they would be low enough to touch. And if you had a GM that allowed you to do a 6-foot vertical leap, you could also touch them.
Okay.
But around you, the stench of ozone kind of burns in your nostrils. There's also rain just pouring down, which is both very, very cold and very loud. Ooh. And over it, there is this wind howling. And growing up in the City of Summers, you probably witnessed some pretty epic summer storms, but there's always relief after them. This doesn't feel like it's ever going to stop. In fact, as you look up, you see the clouds above you beginning to flash. Make a dexterity saving throw.
Mm. Is this an area effect thing? Hang on. Let's see what happens. I'll just do the dex. Let me do the throw and then we can figure out. Dex. Oh, the dice are nice to me. That's a 25.
Oh, very, very good. All right. So you vault out of the way as you see where you were kind of sprawled mere moments ago. This huge fork of lightning smashes down on it and skitters out across the stones. Wow. You kind of scramble back against one of these rocks. I believe because of your new ability evasion, instead of taking half damage, you take no damage.
Yes. All right, cool. So I feel like the tingling bit of electricity just like maybe passing through my feet just as I get back in time. All right, nice. How far can I see? Is this like rock stretching on forever? Is it like a small crop of it? What's sort of down, as it were?
With your perception check, I'll say that you can see there is a spot maybe about 300 feet away where it seems the clouds lift a little bit from the ground, and there seems to be a small worn stone hill.
Is that the only distinguishing feature of this landscape?
Yes, the only one that you can see at the moment.
Okay, I'm going to go towards that. Let's at a light jog.
Just a casual little jog.
A casual jog, yeah.
You start with a 5-minute warm-up walk and then Sarah Milliken tells you to run.
I do some stretches. Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna hustle over there. I'm not gonna go full speed, but I'm gonna get moving.
Nice, you're hurrying. The thing that strikes you perhaps most as you hurry through this bleak landscape is how barren it is. You've lived most of your life surrounded by this beautiful verdance, and even in the City of Cats and Etienne Regia, there are people around, there's life, there's signs of life. Mm. Here there is nothing. It is scorched and bare. You manage to find, after jogging, a light jog, about 300 metres, 300 feet, sorry. You come to this small mount. You can see it is completely smooth and there are juts of almost like black rock, black glass that seem to have shot through it. It seems maybe once it was taller and it's been worn away. But you can also see around the side there is a small hole that seems like it would be more or less large enough for you to scramble through if you wanted to.
Do I know what kind of stone this is? This black, glassy stone?
You can make a investigation check if you want.
Okay. Nine.
Just nine. Oh, it's like shiny, I guess.
Like shiny, nice black stone, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's nice. Yeah.
Okay. Does this look like it was like the base of a statue or a building or something? It looks more constructed than the regular land. Can I tell that?
You can tell with that investigation check that no, this looks quite, as you inspect that, the sort of the entranceway, as it were, the hole. Mm. You can see that it seems to have small little chips in it. It seems the mount itself may have been something larger that was worn away over time, but something seems to have chipped into the bottom of it and made this hole.
Okay, I'm going to take one final look around this landscape and just see if there's anywhere else with like an arrow pointing over it going like here is your quest marker or something. Is there anything else I can see on this landscape that's sort of distinguishing?
Now that you've moved quite away, make another perception check. Let's see what you can spot.
Ooh, 22.
22. All right.
Ooh, very well.
You turn on your fucking eagle eyes. I seem to always be on with this guy. Jeez. As you take a look across the storm, you can see very far away, maybe half a mile. If it weren't so flat, you wouldn't be able to see it. There seems to be sort of a rocky silhouette of something. You're not quite sure what it is.
A rocky silhouette of something. Is it moving or is it still?
This is still. You and watch it for a moment.
Okay. How far?
Maybe half a mile. Quite away.
Half a mile.
You can also see in the stretch between here and that kind of strange silhouette, more of these lightning bolts sort of smashing down.
All right. In which case, I'm going to just get into some cover. I think I've been pretty... I mean, based on the last adventure as well, I think I'm feeling quite a little bit raw. Like, you know, this we've just been wrenched out of this environment. I just had this frozen moment of being in the fire, and that's the first time that's happened in my life, not knowing what to do or how to act. So I'm feeling a bit vulnerable, I think. So I'm going to find a nice little hidey hole that's halfling-sized. Yeah, let's get in there.
Right, fantastic. As you reflect on that, you scramble in through this this small hole. You scramble inside this strange kind of worn mount. Immediately, as you scramble through this short tunnel, what catches your nose is the stench of rot and fungus. It also seems to be pitch black in here, which I believe with your halfling eyes you can't see. But
no. I'll light a... I'm sure I have a tinderbox. Let me have a look. Yeah, I think I do. Yeah, I've got a lantern in my adventurer's pack. So I'm gonna light my lantern.
Very nice. All right, as you strike your lantern, it takes a few goes because it's damp with this just soaking rain. But as you manage to finally strike a spark, you can see that the lantern seems to light less than you would expect. The lantern would probably shed regularly about 20 feet, I think, of dim of bright light. Here it kind of barely illuminates 5 feet in front of you.
Oh wow, okay, really dark. Can I move further in?
You can, absolutely.
I'm gonna go very slowly and maybe sort of reach out, see if there's the wall. I'm gonna shuffle my feet carefully. I'm not at a light jog, Vicky. I'm at a stealthy shuffle.
These are all the Gwathryn dance moves, right? That have taken the city of Summers by storm.
Yeah, absolutely. The stealthy shuffle. It's it's a bit of a cheeky one, that.
How do you do it? No one knows because he always rolls so fucking high. I'm going to do the stealthy shuffle. Hey, everyone, come over here. And Gwathryn just disappears.
He's gone. He's just actually disappeared. Then he's behind you. Got his hand on the small of your back, which is him reaching up. All right.
And then he nicks your purse.
And he nicks your purse. That's the stealthy shuffle. Right, yeah. So I'm going to stealthily kind of move my feet along, kind of reach out with my spare hand. And like high alert for listening to stuff and, you know, really straining my eyes, just really all of the perception as much as I can.
Maximum perception. All right, lovely.
Perception.
High. My name's Max Reception.
That's actually somebody I've worked with in the city. So he's really good. He's my spotter.
Yes. He's got to be like a maverick detective, right?
Yeah. He got chucked out of the Sunstokers.
Yes. For being a loose cannon. Yes.
Being a loose cannon, yeah. The Adventures of Catherine and Max Reception. That's a spin-off episode.
I was going to say, we've made another fucking intermission is what we've made.
But the irony is, of course, you just put nothing into wisdom.
Yes.
And nothing into perception. And absolutely.
It's all in charisma.
Yeah.
It's actual gardeners doing the crime work. And then he steps in and goes, I saw that 8 days ago. Saw them all clearly. It was him. And everyone's like, wow.
Yeah.
All right, so you scramble. I realized I wrote this to be like a high tension adventure, but anytime me and Dan Simpson spend any time together, we're just fucking goofy as hell. So
being goofy. I'm being very sick. Wathrin's being very serious. He's stealthily, quietly shuffling.
Every day he's shuffling.
Every other day at the moment is.
Oh wow, you know, is he okay?
Not really. Okay. Oh, goofiness. All right. Okay.
You scramble through this tunnel and you feel after not that far, maybe 10 more feet, because you're reaching forward with your hands and your feet and feeling out, you can feel it opens into kind of almost a strangely smooth chamber opening, you think. You can feel it kind of goes up 5 feet in every direction, maybe. And this stench of fungus and rot grows even stronger.
Can I see anything that's causing that smell?
Within about 5 feet, as you lean forward, your lantern illuminates the bottom of what seems to be a kind of a leather backpack. A leather pack.
Okay. Like on the floor?
Yeah.
Okay. Not just hanging in midair. I mean, it's D&D. It could be.
It's attached to a ghost and he needs your help getting to school. Oh, hi, Mr. Gwaffrin.
That would be an adorable adventure.
It's my first day of kindergarten, but I'm ghosty. Stuck in the storm.
Oh, little ghosty. Oh, I think it might be your last day of kindergarten too, unfortunately.
Oh, no. Am I getting kicked out?
I don't think your kindergarten exists anymore.
Stupid government cuts.
But I feel like that's secretly the thing the ghost was holding on for. And so then it like disappears and goes, my life is complete. And then I just grab the backpack. Yes, I've got the backpack.
You grab the backpack.
No, I'm not gonna grab the backpack from the floor. I'm going to approach the backpack with the stealthy shuffle aforementioned.
Great. You like a little Looney Tunes cartoon.
It's like Scooby Doo when they're like this.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Absolutely. Oh god, if I were better at photoshopping, that would be all I was doing is editing Gwaffrin on one of those GIFs. You slink forward and you can see this backpack looks pretty battered, pretty old. And it seems to be lying open. If you'd like, you can peer in, see anything you can see in there.
Yeah, I'm not gonna touch it yet. I'm being very, very careful. But yeah, I'm gonna try and peer in. I'd probably get my my staff and get like poke it out and try and like lift the opening just to see what's in there.
Great, you can absolutely do that. As you kind of lift the opening and inspect in, you spot a couple of things. First of all, you spot a pretty distinctive looking ration tin. A lot of ration tins look the same kind of between the cities, you've noticed, but you can smell that whatever was in here is past its sell-by date by a good few years.
Okay.
You can also see there seems to be a worn and threadbare blanket that seems to be sprouting moss and mushrooms. And you can also see, tucked up at the back, there seems to be something small and wrapped in leather.
By distinctive ration tin, it's like customized and stuff.
No, sorry. It's just like all ration tins look the same.
Okay, sorry.
Identify it's got rations in without needing to look close. Gotcha. Right. Although it is pretty distinctive now that I think about it. It's got a load of paint on it, and the paint seems to be flaking, but it seems to have once had beautiful, intricate drawings of, in effect, like mosaic-y gems.
Ooh, that's fun. All right, I'm going to finally get to the backpack with my hands. And I'm going to...
The backpack bites down on your hands. It was a mimic, motherfucker. Oh, never touch things in Mickey's world.
I'm going to... I'm going to grab the ration tin, avoiding the moldy, disgusting blanket.
Great.
For now. And yeah, I'm going to maybe open it and just sort of empty out anything that's in there.
It's probably, you would know the stuff in here was built to last a long time, maybe months. Mm-hmm. But it seems a bit of this ration tin leaked, and there was sort of, there's dried gunk. There's basically like ship's biscuits in there that seem to have also become just consumed by this kind of blue black mold, worst okay. of the student fridge kind of level. Blue black mold.
Blue black mold. Oh, delicious, delightful. I'm going to, yeah, let's just pop that to one side. I'm going to grab the thing at the back. Which was wrapped up, I think you said.
Absolutely. So there seems to be this kind of folded leather thing, which as you pull it out, it's pretty hefty in your hands. And you realize it is a tool roll. It seems to be very, very good quality, and it seems to have been deliberately protected. Despite its position underneath the blanket, it seems to have survived the worst of the mold. As you inspect it, you turn it over, and you can see on the front is embossed in the leather of this roll a seal of two crossed hammers over a diamond.
Two crossed hammers over a diamond. Do I recognize the symbol?
You can make a history check if you want.
Oh, I'm not good at history. Five minus one.
Oh, no, you're not sure. It looks, maybe this used to belong to someone that liked diamonds.
And hammers. Hammers over a diamond. Okay, cool. And it's a toolkit. What kind of tools are inside?
You can unfurl it, unroll it. It seems to be a roll of leatherworker's tools.
Leatherworker's tools, okay. Yeah. I'm going to obviously pocket that. Let's keep that somewhere safe.
Fair enough.
Cool, I'm going to try and clean out the tin as well a little bit, and I'm going to keep that.
Lovely. As, well. As you turn to empty the tin, you see something is sat behind you.
Sat?
Yes.
I mean, internally, I'm screaming and jumping out my skin. Externally, do I see what it is yet?
Yes, okay. It is a dwarven woman. She is in full armour. Mm-hmm. And for a moment... it looks like she is just propped up staring at you until you notice the bloom of sickly looking white mushrooms climbing from her eye and other places in her armor. And you realize it wasn't the blanket making that stench.
Oh, well, did she literally just appear behind me?
No, she was there the whole time.
She was there the whole time. I've just caught. Okay, fine.
You presume?
Yeah, can I see if she's breathing or anything? I assume she's very dead.
She is very dead. You can make a medicine check, though, to figure out maybe how she died or how long she's been dead.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do a quick check on her.
Nice.
Medicine check of 14.
14? Pretty good, actually. Considering you're not a mortician or anything, you inspect this dwarven woman, this dwarven corpse. You take a moment to kind of unbuckle bits and pieces of her shoulder armor.
I don't think I'd touch her.
Oh, really?
The fungal spore thing is very freaky, and I'm just like, as a gardener, I think I know how like that stuff can get a few spores onto you, and it can like ruin a crop or ruin a plant. So I'm staying as kind of well back, but yeah, I don't know what I can do without touching her.
I'll say that with your, because you're very perceptive, you can kind of take a look around and see what you can spy at a distance.
Okay.
You can see that she has two kind of blooming patches of red on one on each shoulder, and then on one of her sides, kind of bleeding through the under tunic, there's an old patch of this kind of once red, now black blood. And on the other, there seem to be two. It's odd. It looks like she was run through simultaneously with five blades. And it seems like the cuts are very messy. She struggled and there's dried blood kind of spattered on her armor. There's also, if you inspect closely with your lantern, a little bit of dried blood pooling underneath her, or did pool a few years ago. So you can see that she died in here.
Ooh, okay. I'm going to be thinking, this is creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
Does the passage continue beyond her?
No, it's just this.
This is the end.
This is the end.
This is the end. Guathra, no. Okay. I'm going to back away. I imagine I kind of got like some sort of rag and put it over my face because I'm just like, I don't want to breathe in any of the fungal spores.
That's a really good idea. Yeah. Really, unfortunately, you are going to have to make me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, damn.
So unlucky.
Con saving throw. That's a nat 20.
Okay, very well. You managed to slam on your mask and protect yourself in the interest of public health.
God, I'm going to keep the mask on in all public places and when anyone else feels uncomfortable.
That sounds like a great thing to do with a mask, Boris.
Yeah. I know it's not the law, but I'm not an arsehole. So, okay. So, keeping the mask on. I'm going to come back. I'm going to make my way back past the bag. There's no other direction that I can see leading off this passageway.
It doesn't seem so. Do you want to feel around? You can kind of find the edges of this chamber if you want with your lantern.
Yeah. I'm going to do a thorough search of the place.
Very nice. Investigation checks if you play.
That's better. 14 minus 1. 13.
Lovely stuff. All right. You are pretty certain that there are no kind of hidden rooms off here and there's nowhere else you can go. You feel around and you can feel on the inside, this chamber's actually strangely square, as if it was once sort of a room carved into the rock or something, which is in contrast to how it's sort of a rounded mound now.
A rounded mound.
But no, nothing else here, you think?
Okay. I'm going to get myself out of there pretty sharpish now.
You scramble out of there. So you've taken the ration tin and the leatherworker's tools?
Yes, I've given the ration tin a thoroughly good clean with my water. and give it a good rub down.
You don't know how long you're going to be in this storm. Don't use all your potable water. What's that? Just cleaning this cool tin.
Oh, is that the ghost? It's the ghost. We did learn something from kindergarten. Good. All right. So, I'm going to make my way back, I guess, to the storm.
All right. Lovely. You scramble out too unsettled to spend any amount of time in or any longer in that chamber with that poor corpse. As you scramble out, your eyes are naturally drawn to that strange dark shape on the horizon. And as you try to focus in on it through the sheets of rain, which you're pretty sure mercifully wash away any lingering spores that may have made it onto you, you hear a quiet whistling. Like, whatever that dark shape is, it may be a congregation of hundreds quietly.
Oh, that's creepy. It's really creepy. Is there anything else on the horizon? Is that the only kind of distinguishing thing? No, okay, I'm gonna go towards it.
All right. As you scramble forwards,
wait, I might cast. Oh, should I cast? Oh, fucking hell. How much is there? I'm gonna try and get closer to it and see what it is, if possible. Putting my lantern out.
Great. All right, you put out the lantern. It is technically dim light here, because of the darkness of the storm, but if you'd like to, you can give yourself dark vision to see better if you want to cast a spell.
I'm okay.
All right, so as you proceed onwards closer and closer, you get closer to this jagged shape. Eventually you realize that it looks oddly familiar. It looks like a corner of like a dry stone wall, like kind of farmers might use to kind of fence in their crops or their sheep. But the strange familiar thing about this is it's made of City of Summer's sandstone, or at least kind of similar to what you remember it being like.
Mm. Okay.
You can see as you come round, it's almost this like L-shaped corner of the wall. Mm-hmm. But as you kind of pace round, you notice a couple of things. First of all, you notice that very far off in the distance, you can see something moving, tiny, like noticing a mite on your arm, really small, moving underneath the horizon. Okay. But the other thing you notice as you come round this dry stone wall is there is a kind of cover, a leather cover made of this kind of patchwork leather, different skins kind of sewn together, that seems to cover the right angle of this wall. So it's in effect this L shape, and then the two corners are kind of covered over by this this patchwork cover.
Okay, I'm going to go up to the cover and see if I can hear anything behind. So this is covering up, and it's like an entrance to something.
Very possibly. Okay. Very possibly.
I'm going to like come up to the leather cover and sort of listen up against it and see if I can peek around it at all.
Great.
I'm going to do this stealthily. Stealth and shuffle, which is rapidly becoming a signature move. A stealth shuffle.
All right, go for a stealth check and then go ahead and make me... Would you say this was investigation or perception? Are you kind of investigating more about things you've already seen or trying to perceive different new
things? I'm trying to hear if there's somebody or something, or I'm trying to get a sense of the environment, so I think it's perception.
Makes sense. Go perception then.
Stealth is 16.
Lovely. All right, pretty good.
And perception is... Ooh, nice, 20.
Ooh, 30. Very good. All right, so you were... You take a moment to sort of make sure that nothing can see behind you. You tuck in, you press yourself up against the wall, and you peer underneath this cover. You can see that it seems to be protecting a smooth stone tunnel. Seems to be a little smaller than the other one. You reckon you could fit down it as a halfling. Might be a bit of a squeeze. And it seems to be seems to have been very smoothly chiseled out, but deliberately burrow down. The other thing you notice is just the quiet stench of shit coming up from here.
Can I tell what kind of shit it is? No, it's okay.
It smells...
Can I see a source of the shit?
No, it seems that the tunnel kind of goes down maybe 5 or so feet and then seems to curve away. It smells like fresh.
Fresh. Oh, it does smell fresh. I mean, I'd probably be able to tell as a gardener.
Yeah, you'd be used to the stench of manure.
Yeah. Is there any, this little L-shaped wall, is there any other features about it or anything? Like, how tall is this wall? Is it part of a big building?
It looks like maybe once it was, or formed some kind of join to maybe like the edge of a farm or something. You're not really sure.
Okay.
It looks deliberately constructed. It's maybe 5 feet tall at its highest point and a couple of inches at its lowest. Okay. And it's one of these dry stone walls, so these chunks of kind of craggy rocks stacked on top of one another.
Hmm. 5 feet, you say? 5 feet high?
Yes.
I'm going to climb the wall. I want to get a better look at this this thing moving on the horizon.
Oh, very nice. All right, you scramble up the wall. I'll say you can easily do that. You're very dexterous. Go ahead and make me a perception check to see if you can splinter this thing through the rain and through the wind.
Good, it's 22.
All right. With 22, it looks very far away. It looks to be moving. And it looks to be humanoid.
Oh.
It seems like it's staggering a little bit and kind of walking clumsily. Okay. But it doesn't seem to be walking in a particular direction. It just seems to sort of stagger one way and then look around and stagger another way.
Okay. How is it coming towards roughly where I am, though?
It looks like it might be wandering that way vaguely.
Okay. And could I estimate how long it might take to reach me?
At its current shambling pace, probably 10 minutes.
Is it a light shamble or a fast shamble?
Oh, stealthy shamble.
Stealthy shamble. Okay. Sorry. So do you say 5 to 10 minutes?
Probably about 10 minutes. Yeah. If it just keeps on wandering.
All right. I've got 10 minutes. Let's get in the hole. Let's get in the shithole.
Yay. Come to Vicky's World for immersive storytelling. Helps you escape into a world of Dungeons & Dragons high fantasy. I'll climb in the hole that smells like poo.
Oh, it smells so bad, but yeah. I get right in. Yeah.
It does smell bad. Okay. You squeeze into this small stone tunnel. You scramble down the 5 feet. Are you going head first or feet first?
I'm absolutely not going head first.
You're going feet first?
Oh, is it that narrow? And is it straight down, or is it at an angle? What's the...
It's probably at 45 degree angle to begin with.
Oh.
And then as it curves, you can't really see.
Oh, okay. So it's not something I can... Can I climb down it? Or is it more like you slide down it?
This bit, you have to kind of slide a little bit. Put your arms out, and prop yourself against the sides of the wall. Okay.
Is there something I can tie some rope to before I go down?
You could probably lash some rope around the section of the dry stone wall that this cover is attached to. It looks like as reliable bit as ever.
All right, I'm gonna tie a rope to that bit and use that to kind of rappel myself down.
Amazing. So you're you're tying one end of the rope to the side of the leather cover, and then in effect you're tying it round your waist and then letting it go bit by bit.
Yeah. So I can control my descent down here, and also climb back up if I get stuck.
Smart. I just wanted to make sure that you weren't like, I tie one end of my 50 feet of rope to the leather cover and the other end to me, and until I get 50 feet away, this rope will be fucking useless.
it's more like support to get down, and then if I can't get back up for some reason, I can hoist myself back up, hopefully.
Lovely. Right, so you scramble on down this tunnel. After the 5 feet, it seems to angle out into kind of a more level, almost horizontal area that you kind of push yourself down feet first. Mm-hmm. And then, because your perception check is so high, you notice as the tunnel begins to give way underneath you, and you find yourself tumbling down towards a pit full of stone spikes. You can see on one side of it, there is a narrow stone ledge. Uh-huh. If you'd like, you can make a dexterity saving throw to push yourself off the other wall and land on it.
I mean, I'm holding onto the rope, right? So I'm not going to...
Yes. You can stop yourself if you want.
Yeah, I'm just going to stop. Hold on. I'm just going to keep hold of the rope while it all crumbles.
Lovely.
Like, well, I'm really fucking glad I tied that rope on.
You say aloud.
I say, really fucking glad. Yeah, I say in my head to myself. I'm like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
That was some smart thinking, Gwathryn. I mean, whoever's playing you is doing very well with this this progression of, yeah, he is. Okay, good. So I'm going to hold on to that. And I can see there's a ledge. So am I sort of hanging over the spikes now?
You're dangling over about a 10 feet wide spike trap.
I'm going to like push off the wall to give myself some momentum.
Great. All right, that's going to be...
And then I'm going to try and... oh, crap, if I let go of the rope, how do I get back? How far is the ledge from...
I'd say about at the other side of this 10 feet drop, 10 feet, pit, and I'd say the drop is probably 20 feet down.
Hmm. 20 feet. What? 20 feet. What's my feature is that I basically feather fall everywhere.
Yeah. So you can fall slowly.
I can slow fall. I can use my reaction when I fall to reduce any falling damage. Oh, that's useful. So I'm going to run out of rope, aren't I? I think I can't take the rope with me.
Would have to come off the end of the rope in order to get to the tunnel, the platform, sorry.
And how far from the platform? I'm trying to retrace my steps later if I need to get back. How far from the platform would the bottom of the rope end up?
Bottom of the rope would be a 10-foot leap sideways over the pit to grab it, but it dangles just at the top of the pit. It brushes the top of the spikes, which you now notice are smeared with shit.
Ah, okay, cool. I mean, I think there's only one way to go, which is straight onto the spikes, please. I'm not slow falling. I want to plummet like a rock onto the spikes. Thank you.
No. All right.
I attack the spikes.
Dan, roll a new character.
Yeah.
We're going to change some art.
All right. I'm gonna do the momentum thing, and I'm gonna I'm gonna jump onto the platform.
Fantastic. Make an athletics check to try to swing yourself on this rope.
Oh, can it be acrobatics?
It can't. Interestingly enough,
can I get advantage? No.
Okay. No.
Fucking hell.
Can I get advantage because I'm Dan?
Because no. I was clever and played well. No, okay.
You were clever and you did play well. That is absolutely true.
Well, I got a 7.
Okay. You, hey, great. You vault off and you are going to make it. You are sure you are going to make it to that.
Yeah.
You actually, your feet, your feet make it.
Sure.
Rest of you. Rest of you falls backwards.
Oh no!
Your toes grip on and you fall backwards. It's not going to be as bad as if it had been a 20-foot drop onto some spikes, but it's still going to be a little bad.
I'm obviously going to slow fall onto them as well.
Okay, so this impalement goes slower and worse for you.
Yeah, great.
For any podcast listeners, that was the sound of two entertainment professionals. Miming...
you said shitty spikes, and that is the sound they make.
Miming a halfling getting slowly impaled by some spikes. Okay, so you're going to take 7 points of piercing damage, and you're going to need to make me a constitution saving throw.
Oh, con saving.
How is it?
That's 9.
You don't feel well. You don't. Oh, you feel very nauseous. In fact, you're going to take 3 points of poison damage. It's just, you feel not. You just feel unwell. You know that prickly heat where you have a fever and it's just bad. Something's gone wrong.
Feeling it right now. Okay. cool. I'm going to get off the spikes.
All right. You scramble and haul yourself. It's unfortunate you take another 1 point of damage just by the amount of squirming you've got to do because you are on your own. But you manage to pull yourself up back onto that narrow stone platform. As you stand on that narrow stone platform, you notice that there is another kind of almost curtain of this patchwork leather. And the sound of snoring echoing from behind it. You also notice on one of the patches of this patchwork of leather, they're all different colours, some brown, some pinkier. You notice a small tattoo.
Ooh.
And
what's the tattoo?
It's a little lion.
Do I recognise the tattoo?
It looks like the kind of tattoo that a lot of the sailors would have. Oh.
A little lion on the tattoo. Okay, and I can hear snoring.
Yes.
Behind the curtain.
Yes.
So very stealthily.
Yes.
With my trademark shuffle.
Yes.
I'm going to sort of just peek behind the curtain.
Very nice. All right. As you peek, you can see a small burrow, for want of a better word. It is absolutely full of this similar worn kind of leather, leather pieces of various ages. You spot a couple more tattoos. And you can see the snoring thing seems to be a curled up figure of gnomish size, but it's hard to tell specifically what they are because they are covered in grime and wrapped from head to toe in kind of messily made leather clothes. You can see the cave walls here. They seem to be covered with branching red marks. That's it that you see in here.
Branching red marks.
Yeah.
Can I tell, if they're chalk or what are they?
You can step up and you can have an investigate if you want.
I can't do that until I figured out this gnome. Is it an actual gnome?
You're pretty sure the bits of this creature you can see are quite gnomish.
Okay. And he's snoring, and they are snoring away.
Yes.
Okay. And they're sleeping on this more leathery stuff.
Yeah.
Which is basically person skin.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What isn't these days, am I right?
I mean, I feel like I'm not judging.
I don't. This is the thing. I don't think Gwathryn is. I feel
because
like
because if that was your only way to survive, and if you and if I mean, as long as the bodies were dead to begin with, needs must. If the people were alive, might have a bit of a problem. But let's find out. Okay, can I see if this creature is armed?
As you peer, you can spot there is a kind of a curved couple of knives at their belt that seem to be made out of various bones.
Hmm. Can I attempt to pickpocket all of the weapons from this creature?
That's so funny. Yes, genuinely yes. Make a sleight of hand check.
Okay. do I get advantage because they're sleeping or anything?
No, but the DC will be way lower.
Yeah, sure. Okay. Sleight of hand. So I don't get to use my gloves because they're only lockpicking. Oh, that's quite good. That's 21.
20, you don't fucking need advantage. you slink in and you summarily pluck every single knife that you can find. You can notice actually quite a few of these seem to be have been shaped almost similarly, if crudely, to the leatherwork tools that you found earlier.
Okay.
So they seem to be more for craft than necessarily for stabbage. But as you come over with that stealth and sleight of hand, you also notice a kind of stone sort of javelin, almost a stone spear set next to this person that you can also extract. You can also see, as you are pickpocketing this person, they seem to appear to be female. They seem to appear to be gnomish, and you can see a couple of locks of kind of straggly, greasy white hair. You can also see their sleeping eyes seem very, very wrinkled. Very, very wrinkled.
Okay. I'm going to... Are they wearing armour?
They're covered in this leather.
I'm going to put the weapons sort of on the other side of the route, like as far away from this creature as possible. And I'm going to, keeping a hold of my bow staff, I'm going to sort of just at bow staff's length, sort of prod the gnome a little bit. until they don't wake up from a little prodding.
As you poke at this gnome, you see a pair of kind of roomy eyes open up and immediately kind of focus on you. There is a just kind of like a guttural noise from this gnome. And immediately her hands go to her hips where there used to be weaponry. Finding that it's been removed, she scrambles to her feet as quickly as she can and is just going to start backing up.
Good morning. Oh no. Do you speak common?
Yes.
That's useful, isn't it?
She's not
trying to attack or anything.
No, at the moment she just seems very wary, like she's figuring out her options. Her eyes keep flicking back and forth.
I'm gonna lower my bow staff slowly.
Huh?
And kind of put it to one side and just sort of hold my hand up.
Yeah. Surrender. Yeah.
I like your style. I like your style. You're very, very, you're very amusing. You're very amusing. Look, I'm sorry to wake you, but look, this is a weird fucking place and I'm a bit freaked out. I just want to know what's going on.
No.
Who?
No helping. No. You help them, they get you. No.
Who? Help who to get you?
The lost.
The lost?
The lost ones. The travellers. You, travellers. Show me your hands. Your hands.
And she lunges forward and tries to grab at your hands.
I'm gonna... Can I sidestep? Like, do a dodge?
Absolutely, you can. She is kind of ferocious in her age, but it seems like she just time and hard living has really slowed her and wizened her. She tries to grab your hands.
Okay, can I... This is harsh, but I think I'd do it. I'm going to sidestep and then kind of, like, trip her with those staff so she hits the floor. I don't know if that's an attack or a move or what.
I'll say she is an 800-year-old gnome. Her feet out from under her.
I'm not going to do it hard. I'm doing more of, like, a sweep just to, like, knock her to the floor. I don't want to actually hurt her.
She hits the floor with a heavy thud.
Oh. Sorry. Just look, chill out. Yeah. I'm gonna hold my, relax. It's all right. I'm gonna hold my hands up.
Okay. As she looks, she kind of does her best to squint at you, and as she sees that you have two hands, she sort of seems to relax a little bit. She goes,
"What you want?
Sorry?
What you want?
Oh, well, what do I want?
Yeah. Letters?
Listen, I don't...
Apple orchards?
We'll come back to the apple orchard comment in a moment.
Apple orchard can't have.
Okay.
Letters?
Tell me some other things I can't have.
Fucking peace. Good sense of styles, clearly.
I really like you. You're great.
Fucking manners.
Okay. I mean, once talk. All right. Listen, all I want to know is
in my house, my home.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I am. I didn't know it was your home. I don't know where the fuck I am. Could you just tell me where the fuck I am, first of all?
Storm.
Yeah. All right.
Inside.
This is inside the storm.
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
Oh, long.
Hmm.
Will be longer.
And what's your name?
Huh?
Do you have a name?
What is name?
I'm Gwathryn.
What is that?
My name.
What is that?
Okay, I'm gonna call you
Call me why?
I'm gonna call you Linda.
Linda.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
What is Lind?
That's now your name. All right, Linda. So listen.
Linda.
Yeah, that's right, Linda.
Still listen, should work in accounting. Linda, be process spreadsheet. No.
You're an artisan. You're an artisan. You're a craftswoman, Linda.
Yeah.
You're a leather worker, and you've done
I'm
some.
I'm a Linda. I Lind.
You Lind. That's right. Exactly. You're
that's
Linding.
What you call. And she kind of holds the leather up.
Yeah.
You call Lind.
Lind. Is it lovely, Lind? Yeah. Great work. Great work, Linda. Well done, Linda. Great Linding, Linda. I'm gonna ask who are these travellers you're talking about? Who are these lost?
Never help. Never help.
You never help them?
Never. They get feast on dwarf, on family. Oh, that pass by. The lonely lost. Feast. Don't help.
Okay.
Don't help.
All right. Okay. That sounds like a warning. How have you survived so long? How did you manage to survive so long, Nanny?
Apple orchard.
What do you mean, apple orchard? Where?
Apple orchard.
Can you show me?
Yeah.
All right.
Plan.
And she sets her little wizened hand against the branching kind of red paints on the wall, which you now notice are sort of potentially an artistic attempt at what it would be like looking up through tree branches.
This way. Apple orchard.
Alright.
Don't hurt.
No,
quiet,
I'm gonna get the leather workers' tools out and give them to Linda. Were these yours?
No.
No.
Yes, mine.
They are. Oh, I see. All right. Okay. Can I do a perception check to see if she's lying?
You do an insight check if you want to see if she's lying.
No, it's all right. She can have the.
She grabs at them and she hugs them to her chest. You can see she's she unfurls them. She struggles with the knot. She doesn't seem to have met it before, but eventually she managed to kind of hook it out of the way. And as she pulls it open, her eyes go wide, and she kind of pulls out one of these tools, maybe like a small hammer or something. It just goes.
What this? Dwarf? You dwarf?
No, I'm not a dwarf. I'm a halfling. I'm from the city of Summers. You heard of it?
Her eyes go wide.
Yeah. Vines. Sky of vines.
That's right, yeah.
Yes. Came from.
You're from the Sea of Summers.
Yes. Bloody goddess hell. Shiny, yes.
Yes, the goddess of summer. Miss. That's right. Can I show her my symbol of the goddess?
Yeah, absolutely you can.
Hmm.
She, so you notice that...
Well, if I can't remember how I hold... I think it's a bracelet or a bangle. I think I've got it on.
Yeah.
She
steps forward and you can see for the first time she's not kind of lunging. She's not trying to be aggressive or grabbing at something she wants. She's almost approaching this in a reverent way. And she just kind of very gently moves her gnarled fingers across it. She says, Goddess
lives.
Yeah.
City lives.
It does, yeah. I'm trying to get back to it.
Long time. Orchards, apple orchard.
Many, many apple orchards, yeah.
Yes. Yes, good. Good.
Can I give, what have I got in my, do I have any flowers or any like anything in my herbalism pouch that would be kind of like alive and green?
Is there anything that you've...
I don't think I've picked anything up recently.
No.
Probably just seeds and stuff, to be honest. So,
all right. You definitely have seeds.
Yeah. I also have those very special seeds. Bag of beans. Well, beans.
How bag of beans?
Not going to give her my bag of beans.
Oh.
No.
she all right, goes, let's, beans?
you can read my mind.
yes.
I think. Oh, fuck.
She thinks back. No.
I want to do an insight check.
She doesn't. That's really silly.
Very silly.
As you nod and try and kind of fumble in your pouch, she grabs for your wrist, not to try and steal your bangle or anything, just to try to lead you. And okay. She says, apple orchard.
All right, let's go to the apple orchard. Yeah.
Okay. She pushes aside another curtain of leather, and you can see she leads you down into a... quite large underground cave. You can see that the edges seem to have been hacked out with rocks and at some points just rubbed away with the repeated pressing of hands. And clearly in the floor to this underground cave, there have been hacked out tiny individual holes.
Okay.
She gestures and she says, garden.
Oh, this is fucking heartbreaking.
Apple orchard.
Oh my god. It's just literally rock, isn't it?
Yeah. She's chiseled out little kind of holes if you want to peer into them. You can see she's tried desperately planting anything. You can see there's a little bone in one, like an inner ear bone. There's a rotten finger. There's a white kind of the quite familiar now kind of white clay earpiece.
Oh, is there now?
There is.
Huh.
Apple orchard.
Yeah, it's beautiful. What really excellent gardening. The garden
someday apples grow. Yeah. Have waited long time, Father said, long time.
How have you survived so long? What have you been eating?
Oh, this, that.
Travellers.
Oh.
Yeah, it's all right. It's all right.
Things come by.
Sure, I understand.
Apples will grow.
Yeah, we'll get you some apples one day.
Apples will grow.
Can I give her some of my... I've got rations, I think. Yeah, there you go. I've got rations. I'm going to give her some dried fruit, including jerky, dried fruit, hardtack and nuts.
Ooh. How many days' worth of your rations?
I'm going to give her just the one day's worth for now.
Just the one. All right. She takes it and she looks confused. She looks at you and says, what?
I'm going to get another one out and start eating it just to show it's all right.
She tries. It's like kind of, it's almost like even though she's super old, it's like trying to give a toddler or like a puppy a new food. She kind of feels it with her teeth and kind of puts it on her tongue. First, you recognize a lot of the classic tests that you teach children in the City of Summers to see whether or not a berry's poisonous. Of place it on a bit of your tongue for a little while, wait to see if it like swells or tingles, and then chew a little bit, see it, you know, that kind of thing. She seems to be doing it really carefully.
Nice, nice. I'm going to eat some of my own as well. Where's my rations?
You have a lovely picnic in the orchard.
Little picnic in the bone orchard, yeah.
Picnic in Linda's bone orchard.
It's absolutely a porn film. It is, absolutely.
And it's not good, but it has been made.
It absolutely has been made. Okay. Is this a dead end as well? Is there anything else back here?
This seems to be it. It's quite a large cave, you can see. If you want to light your lantern, you can see that it's maybe 30 feet or something. She seems to have chiseled it out herself over years and years.
All right. Okay. I think I'm probably going to get out of here. The bone orchard is not fun.
Apple orchard.
Apple orchard, yeah. Are you reading my mind again, Linda?
Reed? What is Reed and mine?
Oh, okay. I'm going to... let's go back into the previous chamber.
And You're not dwarf.
No.
Ah. Flood of dwarf came from the nubs, the worn teeth.
The one teeth?
The worn down.
Teeth. She points to her own teeth, which seem quite worn down, probably from years of trying to eat rocks.
That's what you get when you try and eat rocks.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. That's justice.
Yeah. Okay. Can I... I don't know if I can... How... Wait, so she, is there a, I'm going to ask, is there a way out of here onto the surface? How do we get out?
She gestures that you come with her, and you can see behind another leather curtain, there is a small sort of tunnel that she seems to use to climb up and out. It seems to have little like stone steps, like ladder rungs chiseled into it, and it seems to lead straight up.
All right, is she leading or shall I lead? She's going to go, I'll follow.
She holds the curtain to the side and she says, you go?
Okay. Yeah. Linda, do you want to come with me?
Come with?
Yeah. We can see if we can solve this together. Try and get back to maybe not the City of Summers, but somewhere.
Make a persuasion check. You can see she's torn.
Is she convinced by a 6?
No, but you can get advantage by telling me exactly how you tried to persuade her. I feel like there's a moment of connection here.
Okay. so I'm going to say, look, I'm from the City of Summers. That's where I can tell that's where you're from. I'm trying to get back there. I don't know if I'll succeed, but it's got to be better than this place. At the very least, I've got more of this, and I shake one of my ration boxes. You're welcome to stay here, but I'm going back up.
Have advantage. So you can roll that persuasion check again if you want.
17? Yeah.
She looks between you, this kind of, her burrow, for want of a better term, this thing piled with stinking leather and with an orchard that she hopes will grow someday. And then she looks at you, and the combination of the way you've treated her, which is quite well, all things considered, after a bit bumpy initially, the fact that you gave her food, and you can see how she reaches out for a moment, and you're not sure what she's going to do. And then she touches your face, and you realize that her hands move kind of gently over your cheeks and your nose and to the other cheek. And she realizes she's touching the glow that just kind of gently emanates from your skin. And she nods, and then she says,
one moment.
She steps back over to her piles of leather, and she seems to have a bag that she slings over her shoulder, made again from more patchwork leather. She piles her kind of bedding into there. She gets her old bone tools and hooks them back into her belt. She hauls in the roll of leather tools. She stuffs it in her bag, and then she looks at you, and she holds out a strip of leather, and she says,
cover, storm cover.
She points at your face.
As in, like, put it over my eyes?
No. Below.
Over my mouth?
Heh.
Why do we need this?
Protect.
Okay. Okay. Is this person skin?
Do you want to make an investigation check?
No, I just know it is now. I don't think I even need to investigate. If I get out some, like, I must have some scrap.
You've definitely, you put one on earlier for the fungus, and you put some on for the fungus in
If I just lift that up and say, okay.
She nods. She says, right. Quiet.
Gonna give her the leather back.
Okay, she takes it back. She says, suit self.
Yeah, suits you instead. Okay.
She turns for a moment as you begin to scramble up the ladder, and you can tell that she's muttering in Gnomish, which I don't think you speak, but you definitely have heard spoken. And you can catch that it's a tangle of common, so you can catch bits and pieces, but in any language, you know the sound of a goodbye. Then she shuts the leather curtain and she follows you up the ladder into the raging storm.
All right. So, climbing out, do we emerge anywhere near the original hole?
You emerge about 100 feet away from the original hole. So you could get back easily and retrieve your rope if you wanted to.
Yeah, I just want to go untie the rope and bring it back.
Easy peasy, you can pull that up. Cool. Linda will wait for you, kind of crouch low to the ground. It's actually pretty impressive, as you, if you weren't so perceptive as you are, you see that pressed against this kind of bland rock wearing this leather, she's pretty hard to pick out and she's quite small. Okay. You make it back to her.
Where's this moving humanoid shape that we saw earlier?
Closer.
Yeah. Thought it might be.
This may be a good couple of minutes walk from you yet, but it seems to be shambling about. Ooh. Would you make a stealth check, please?
Oh, okay. Let's do a stealth check. 11 total. Oh no.
An 11, Gwathryn the monk, an 11.
I rolled a 4.
Oh no. Linda is pressing herself to the ground, but as you notice this thing shambling forward, you realize that's what you should do just a moment too late. He rolled, to be fair, very high, so you'd have had to roll pretty high in order to evade it. Its head snaps towards you. You can tell it's its head, partially because its eyeballs do not have pupils. They're just milky white inside it. You can also see that its face is sort of worn and twisted into this sinewy, permanent scream.
Ooh.
You can also see, as it begins to run towards you,
shit,
that it does not have two hands like it previously looked like. This thing has 5 long arms, each of them ending in a sharp chitinous blade.
Fuck.
It runs towards you, and from its twisted open mouth it begins to chatter.
Oh, Jesus Christ, okay.
Roll initiative, baby.
Oh, we're in a fight. Shit. Oh my God, come on. initiative, plus 15.
Lovely. That is going to be a 15 for Gwathy boy. All right, lovely stuff. Gwathryn, you get a moment to act first. What would you like to do?
How far from the creature am I?
60 feet.
60 feet. Oh man, so I can't even get close to it. Unless.
I mean, everywhere around here is dim light. And this thing does.
Of course, yeah, I have abilities. I forget I can do stuff. I forget I can do very cool things. Oh, man. Do I go towards it or do I try and avoid it? No, okay, that's Shadow Step.
All right.
Shadow step and then try and hit it.
Fantastic. All right. You shadow step. The shadows whirl around you briefly for a moment and then you are next to this thing.
So I get advantage on the first strike.
You absolutely do.
gosh, I rolled a 15 and a 16 plus 7, 23.
Holy shit, both of those will hit. Go ahead and roll your damage.
Okay, 1d8. There's my d8 plus 4. Yeah, that's 6 damage. And then if I spend a key point for a stunning strike.
Lovely.
Yeah. It's stunned until the enemy next turn. It has to do a con saving throw of 14.
Con save. All right. This thing does have pretty high constitution.
Yeah.
It's a 10.
Okay, cool. I'm going to follow that up with my free unarmed strike.
Fantastic.
Which I now get advantage
on. Did you roll
on.
Damage for your second hit, by the way?
That was the same thing. So I've done 6 points with the quarterstaff. So I basically disappeared, came next to it, channeled my key through my quarterstaff as I struck it.
Amazing.
Kind of going to go for like a shoulder blow. And I channel my life force into it.
Which shoulder? It's got 3.
The middle one. The middle shoulder.
Great.
And then basically, stun it until the beginning of my next turn. Then I'm going to do my 3 unarmed strike.
Fantastic. You can absolutely do that.
No, wait. I've used my bonus action, so I cannot.
Yes, you're right. But do you not
but
get...
I can do,
you
get I can
two
do a
attacks
second,
per turn.
I can do a second attack, though, yeah. With the quarterstaff, which is also going to be an advantage. And that's not great. That's... 16.
16 will hit. Fantastic.
Oh, nice. I rolled a 9 and a 2. So 1d8. That's 5 plus 4. So that's another 9. So a total of 15 points of damage.
Fantastic. All right. You disappear into the darkness. You reappear. You drive your quarterstaff. You're taking a very, very quick approximation of how you think this creature probably hopefully works, and you smack in the back just where a regular by-handed, by-armed creature would have kind of an important nerve. Luckily for you, you smack it right at just the right angle. Well, I say luck, it's skill, of course, to manage to jam it in, and this thing kind of groans as it locks up. You then slam your staff back down the other way and deliver another smack to it. Very nicely done. For its turn, can it do anything?
It's whatever stunned means.
Stunning! All right. I should just have this permanently open when you're playing, to be honest.
Let's see. Stunned, 5e. I think it just means they...
Can't do anything. Yeah, incapacitated, can't move, can speak only falteringly, and automatically fails strength and dex, and can't take actions or reactions.
It's ridiculously OP. I think it's quite hard to land, like the con
save.
Sometimes against bigger creatures and stuff, it's not great.
Yeah.
When it falls off, it's like ridiculous till the end of my next turn.
It's very good. It's very, it's very
insane.
Good. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
All right. In that case, you for this moment, you stun this creature. Next up, it would be this creature's turn. All it can do is just turn to you, and this almost desperate babble comes out of its face falteringly. It looks almost horrified.
Can I pat it on the head as a free action?
Of course you can. Of course you can pat the monster on the head.
Yeah.
Linda attempts to hide, and she rolls a 5.
Nice.
She basically just ducks behind you. Oh, well, she just kind of lies flat.
Yeah.
Is what is going to happen. She lies flat and still because she's an old lady.
Yeah.
Okay, Gwathryn, we're back to your go.
I'm going to hit it with my quarterstaff. Oh my gosh, that's a 26.
That'll hit.
Because I had advantage, of course. And then a d8, that's 9 points of damage. Then I'm going to follow up with my 3 unarmed strike.
Very good.
Which is 21 to hit, I assume.
Yes.
So then I roll that, 9 plus 8, that's 17 points of damage.
17. All right.
And then I'm going to do a second attack, if needed.
Yes. Give me just 1 second.
Sure.
Yes, definitely still needed.
All right. 25 to hit.
That'll hit.
And damage of 7.
7. All right, lovely.
So it's just like a flurry of blows from my quarterstaff, and I just put in an extra like elbow to its face as we went along.
Fantastic. Great. Unfortunately, this thing is still up.
Oh, that was... I should have used the key point to do other things.
What type of damage is this?
It's all bludgeoning.
All bludgeoning?
Yeah.
Oh, buddy, I'm so sorry.
Am I suddenly aware that it doesn't seem to be doing as much damage as I thought it might? Well, maybe...
I'm so sorry. It seems to be resistant. Something about this spooky, spooky space means that, unfortunately, over the last couple of turns, you've done 39 points of damage. You thought you did.
In which case, as I noticed this after the last blow, I'm in which case, I'm going to use a key point for I can't do that. Hang on, you can spend one key point to take the dodge action as a bonus action. I've already used my bonus action for an unarmed strike, so I can't do anything. That's fine.
I'm sure it's totally fine. Yeah. I'm sorry, that was partially on me. I should have clarified that earlier. But that was a hefty chunk of damage.
Yeah.
This thing lunges towards you.
Sure.
And it is going to try to embrace you.
Just wanted a cuddle.
Yeah.
Oh. Fuck. Damn. That's a nat 20, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow. Shit.
Gwathryn.
Yeah.
You see this thing and you notice just a moment too late that it is managing to lunge around. It looms over you and it looks at you mournfully.
Oh.
And then it jams all five of its blades into you. You are going to take 12 points of piercing damage.
Uh-huh.
You are grappled.
Uh-huh.
You are lifted off the ground.
Uh-huh.
You are frightened. And you are also going to take 13 points of psychic damage.
So that was a total of 25 points of damage.
Yes.
Fuck.
As this thing jams into you. You feel this horrible fright setting in. You're not used to being frightened, being a halfling, and being a being somebody who's usually very in control of his mind, but it seems something about these blades.
I get advantage against being frightened.
Yeah, unfortunately, there's no save.
No
here.
Saving throw. No.
While you are grappled in this way, it seems something about these blades is just chilling.
Can I invoke the magpie's boon?
Absolutely. All right.
I can't remember what it does. I think it gives me 5 points. I can't remember. It was sent in the chat last.
Here we go. As a reaction, when you take damage, you can call on Magpie for help avenging you.
Yes. Magpie, avenge me! I say in a suddenly British Ian McKellen-esque voice for some reason.
Hang on, no,
let's channel Danny Dyer for that.
You tell this.
Magpie, sort it out, mate! Okay, there you go.
You shout. And there doesn't seem to be any response.
Fuck!
It seems that something about the storm is muffling your connection to this magical creature.
That makes sense.
Oh, it's very unfortunate. But good try.
Worth a pop.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it is your turn. So you are grappled, but you can still attack if you'd like.
Can I shadow step? What does frightened mean as well, by the way?
You have disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls where you can see this thing and you can't willingly move closer to the source of your fear. Your speed is 0. You can't benefit from any bonus to it while you are grappled as well.
Okay, can I shadow step while grappled?
Don't see why not. Let me just take a look.
It says teleporting. It doesn't say...
Yeah, I think that's a very sensible way to get out of this, considering the considering the strength save.
I am going to...
Yeah, absolutely. You are in dim light here. You can use your bonus action to teleport. You can teleport next to it, or you can teleport further away.
So if I'm frightened, I'll RP it. I'm going to teleport. I'm going to teleport as 60 feet away.
Amazing. Do you want to go towards where this thing came from, or do you want to go back towards Linda?
I still think I wouldn't move it towards Linda, so I'm going to move like diametrically opposite.
All right, lovely stuff.
No, that said, there's cover. There's a wall.
Can I tell? I can't.
The wall's,
can I tell?
The wall's about 100 feet from this building.
Yeah, it's not ideal. It's probably better than no cover, though. So I'm thinking a wall might be helpful. So I'm going to teleport 60 feet towards the wall.
Okay, all right. So you head sort of west, if we're saying Linda's south. This thing's in the middle of the compass point. And the place it came from seems to be north. You teleport westward, and you are 40 feet now from the wall.
What else can I do now this turn, if anything? That's a bonus action. I can't move towards it.
So because this grapple has ended, you feel this fright seeping from your body.
That's nice.
You feel the cold grip of fear on the back of your mind kind of slowly drifting away. You still have taken the damage. You're still feeling pretty beaten up, but you take another look at this thing and you're not frightened anymore.
Well, that's a relief. So can I still act this turn?
Yeah, absolutely.
Amazing. Oh, that's good.
Because you removed yourself from that grapple.
Cool. So I can throw a dagger or fire a dart. But I can't... Teleporting isn't movement, is it? But of course, but I can only move 40 feet. Oh, that's okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, that gives me... Because if I throw from over 20 feet, it's a disadvantage, isn't it?
Yeah, but you can get up to 20 feet and then yeet your dagger.
Yeah, let's do that. Okay, I'm gonna run back.
No, you're like, I'm fine.
Trap this guy. I'm going to run the 40 feet back towards it.
Great.
Readying my dagger in my fingertip, between thumb and forefinger. And as I get within 20 feet range, I'm going to hurl the dagger.
Fantastic.
End over end towards this creature.
You hurl the dagger towards this creature. Go ahead and roll to hit.
Fourteen.
Yeah. 40 just misses. You see your dagger clatter to the side, unfortunately.
I can do another attack though. Mm-hmm. No, use my bonus action.
Ah!
This is so good. I'm gonna do a dart this time.
Nice.
Yeah, with a 19 plus 7, 26.
Oh, yes.
That's better.
That makes solid impact in the center of this thing's skull. Go ahead and roll your damage.
And then a 6. Yes! That's a 10 points of stabby damage.
Lovely. 10 points of piercing, I presume?
Yes.
Fantastic.
Does it seem to do as much damage as I expect or not?
Unfortunately not. Unless it's a non-magical dagger, isn't it?
It's a non-magical dagger.
In that case, yeah. No, unfortunately. This thing does look hurt, though. You seem to really have bloodied it.
Okay,
but you think it's still got a little bit more to go before you can really... These things are tough. You now see why even a fully armoured dwarf got felled by this thing.
Yeah.
Is that all you would like to do with your
turn? I've done two attacks. I've used my bonus action. That's what I can do.
And you're within 20 feet of this thing?
Yes.
Great. Okay, so I guess it's this thing's turn now, right?
Yeah, sure.
Lovely. All right, so it's going to come towards you. And it howls at you as if heartbroken. This grief it seems to be trying to put into words and completely unable. And it's just going to try and stab at you with these arm spikes. So that first one's going to be just a 12.
It's fine.
You dodge out of the way. And the second one, the second one's a 10.
Yeah.
So you dodge one way as this arm spike slams into the rocky ground, splintering it into these pieces of rock. And then you dodge the other way as the second one swings over your head. You manage to dodge and duck and dive. You hear a shout, an angry shout. A natural 20. What is it with this dice? Pride Month is over, but Glitter Rainbow Dice does not acknowledge it. I love you. Never change. Linda seems to have scrambled to her feet and have thrown one of her bone tools, embeds itself into the back of this thing's neck.
Yes, Linda.
It's going to similarly not do as much damage as she might hope, but it seems she threw it with quite a pace. Woo! All right, and it was unexpected, so that is going to be 8 points of damage from Linda's nasty flinging blood bone tool. It would usually have only done 4, but with the excellent timing, she's jammed it into the back of this thing's skull, and she yells, "Avalanche head!"
Yes, Linda, Mason work.
Gwathryn, what do you want to do? This thing is looming down on you. It's 7 foot tall. These flailing, stabbing arms.
All right, I'm gonna. Yeah, let's do another teleportation towards it so I can get advantage.
Great.
And then I'm gonna hit it with. If I did, piercing didn't do as much either, so it doesn't matter either way. Let's do a quarterstaff attack.
Great.
That's with advantage. Do I get to reroll ones on advantage rolls? I assume so.
Yes, you get to reroll a one regardless, and then you can roll twice because you get advantage.
Nice. Well, that one became a 19.
Ha! Incredible! And then roll for your advantage.
I rolled both at the same time. One was
amazing.
So 19, 26 to hit.
Very good, that will hit.
Then 4 plus 4 is 8.
8.
And then...
8 points of damage.
Yeah, let's do a second attack.
Fabulous. This thing is looking really hurt. It staggers as you strike forward with this blade, kind of raking it down one side of its spine. You can see this fetid sinew just comes apart. It's like cutting through kind of cobwebs.
All right. Final go.
19. That'll hit.
Damage of 9.
This thing is barely up. It is barely still up. You can see that it is struggling. It seems to have a very gaunt kind of waist and hips. You can see its pelvis is wasted away, and it seems to kind of almost be wobbling with supporting 5 flailing arms on this very small point. But I'm afraid it does get to try and embrace you again.
Bloody hell.
Gwathryn.
Yeah.
How many hit points do you have, just out of interest?
14.
Cool, so if this hits, you're down.
I'm most likely dead, yeah.
Yeah. Does an 11 hit your armor class?
No, it doesn't.
You see all 5 of these things beginning to converge towards you, beginning to coalesce, beginning to strike, and you dodge, I'm going to say probably forward, for your final strikes. That is the end of this thing's turn. What do you want to do? Linda will throw another knife.
If Linda kills it, that'd be brilliant.
Unfortunately, Linda misses. One of these heavy paring tools cuts a little bit of your ponytail off, and she goes, "Sorry!"
It's all right, Linda. I've got this. I'm going to shadow step like just to the other side of it.
Okay.
Just for that advantage roll, because it's so useful. I think I'm going to get it. I hope so. Another one. Let's reroll that one. And that one turned into a 19 again.
Oh, amazing. So, and then just to be clear, as a halfling, you get to reroll that ones anyway, and then you get to roll another d20 for advantage.
Yeah, that's right.
So you're on that. Good, just to make sure.
Yeah. And then it's only 5 points of... 5 points of damage, bludgeoning.
It is so nearly down.
And I've used my... So I'm going to attack it once more.
Go for it.
Quarterstaff, not advantage this time, but it's 21 to hit.
That'll hit.
And then a final total of 6 points for damage.
Gwathryn.
Yes.
That is exactly what you need.
To
kill this thing. It's unsettling how something so gaunt and skeletal could also be so vital. You sense it's maybe not kept together by flesh at all, but just by this grief, this desperation to find something, anything, to help it from being lost. Wow. As you bring down your final strike, why don't you tell me how you kill this thing?
So I shadow stepped to its other side. Mm-hmm. Using that advantage, I cracked it into the midriff with my bow staff. And then sensing I had I could do the coup de grace, I kind of stepped up into it and swept my bow staff up between its legs. Oh. I like the idea of just slightly lifting it to the ground. It's like 5 arms flailing like this as it crashes back down to earth.
It flails backwards, and you can see as it falls, it's almost like dropping a bag of flour. A part of it just kind of smears as dust. Its arms curl up like the legs of a spider. And you, congratulations, have destroyed this monster.
I'm going to take a breath. I'm going to assess the damage. God, I've been run through again.
Yeah.
It really is. I'm going to have a phobia of being stabbed, unlike most people who don't worry about that. I'm going to try and patch myself up with my herbalism kit. They're just for if you go down properly. I'm just going to try and patch myself up as best I can.
As she sees you beginning to get your herbalism kit out, Linda hurries over, tucks her paring knife back into her kind of belt and catches your arm, and she shakes her head and she gestures ahead of you. She says, "No, not safe, look." And as you look, you see on the horizon maybe a dozen or so of these shambling figures.
Oh my fucking God. All right, okay. I'm gonna hide. Linda's got the right idea.
She sees you go to hide and she grips your wrist tighter and says, "No. Goddess."
Yeah, believe me, I wanna get back to the goddess.
Apple orchard.
Yeah, where? Where's the apple orchard?
Goddess.
Yeah.
And she squeezes your wrist and she says, "Quiet.
Okay. Stupid quiet.
Stupid quiet, all right, yeah."
And she gestures to the section of the horizon that you saw this creature wander from. And you can see far beyond this small milling group of about a dozen of these figures shambling by is a long bridge and the base of a mountaintop.
Ooh.
The clouds almost seem to kind of roll back slightly to reveal. What do you want to do?
Yeah, but we have to sneak around these creatures. But they're not very good at noticing us if we're quiet and stealthy. We have to be stupid quiet. Okay.
Stupid quiet.
Stupid quiet. Stupid quiet. All right, so I guess we're going to... How far is this bridge?
About 100, 200 feet.
Okay.
You go ahead and make me a stealth check.
I'm going to cast Pass Without Trace, of course, with my remaining two key points.
What a great idea.
Thank God I saved those two key points. Almost like I thought that we might be useful to cast a spell. So I'm casting Pass Without Trace on me and Linda.
What's the what's the spellcasting ability modifier that you have?
It's Wisdom.
Great. So go ahead and just make me a Wisdom check.
Okay. Just roll a d20 plus my wisdom modifier.
Plus your wisdom modifier. Okay. Or plus your spellcasting modifier.
What is that, just my wisdom?
It would be.
And proficiency.
Let's see. Let's take a look. So at the top of it, you're not used to playing a spellcaster, are you? So if you take a look at the top of your spells page, it should say... I guess because you can't. Oh, of course, because you only have buff spells, which is honestly sensible. In that case, yes, just add your wisdom modifier and your proficiency bonus, which I think is 3 at this stage.
Yeah, so 3 plus 3 is 6 plus 11 is 17.
For a moment, you feel the second this magic rips away from you.
Mm.
There's something in the static in the air that makes it briefly unstable. You focus very hard and you haul this magic back in and you make it do what you told it to. And you cast Pass Without a Trace.
Ooh, that's a relief.
Yeah.
So Linda and I are going to get plus 10 bonus to stealth checks.
Heck yes.
Which is very useful.
Oh, yes, it is. All right, for the both of you, go ahead and roll.
So I'm at a base 17 before I roll.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Go ahead and roll this. Linda, she gets plus 10 on top of her usual. Okay.
And I rolled a 5, which is not ideal, but that's 22.
22. You and Linda set off. She rolls a 17, so she's not that far behind you, but she's a little old. It takes her a little bit more time.
Yeah.
As the two of you set off, it is just a rocky plain. Occasionally, thunder rumbles overhead, these sheets of rain coming down, pelting down on you. But you're very small. And Gwathryn, all your life, you have been very good at not being seen. You sneak past. There is one moment where Linda's boot catches a pebble and sends it skittering towards one, but both of you freeze. And it swoops its head around, chatters for a moment, and then continues to walk. Linda then breathes, and you continue on. After interminable minutes, you manage to make it to the far side of this strange field of lost travellers, and you make it to the bridge. The stone bridge is ancient and dwarven made, quite obviously. And as you catch a glimpse over the side, you see nothing but darkness below you. In front of you, the fog clears enough for you to see the giant stone doors of the lost city of Forge lie open. Would you like to go through them with Linda?
Push Linda back. Go, she's here.
Shove her off the side.
Fucking hell, that'd be horrendous. No, I'm going to. I'm
she
going
does
to,
skin people though. She love these people.
Needs must. I'm going to. I'm very pragmatic person.
Yeah. I love that you took to Linda.
Oh yeah, Linda's great. I'm going to go through the doors into the fort, into City of Forge.
As you step out of the storm into the warm darkness of the lost dwarven city of Forge. That is where we will end your intermission, Gwathryn.
Bloody hell.
Very well done, Dan. You feeling okay?
That was incredibly stressful.
You did really, really fucking well. You did really well at that. That was a tough fight. You used all your abilities really well, and I'm so glad your choice was basically, did you want to take Linda or not? And I'm so glad that Gwathryn did.
I'd always take Linda. Linda's a legend.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, I will keep you no later than you must, since, guys, just to be super clear, Dan has been doing so much work and running around all sorts of schools, teaching all sorts of children all sorts of poems. So we will sign off. Thank you guys so much for tuning in, if you did, and if you didn't, then you'll never know. what else? What are my closing announcements usually? Sometimes we go and raid, but we don't have the capacity to do that at the moment. So basically just a huge thank you to everybody involved. Dan, where can people find you if they want more of this incredible work?
You can find me everywhere on social media as Dan Simpson Poet, and people are already going to go check out that science spoken word album I was chatting about, so thank you for doing that.
And
that sort of thing on my socials.
Amazing. I'm at Vic Hawley on Twitter and at Vic.Hawley on Insta. If you're based in the UK, then sometimes I do improv shows for real. So you can check them all out on my Twitter. Otherwise, just come along for some occasional reblogs of stuff I find pertinent. Thank you. Also, a huge shout out to the wonderful and fantastic Martin, who has stepped in to look after our intermission streams. We really appreciate
you,
it. You worked so hard. So big shout out in chat for Martin. Such love for Blue Frog. Go and follow him. He's Blue Frog UK. And yeah, I know that he tweets some great stuff. All right. All that remains for me to say is thank you all so much. Thank you hugely to Dan for that incredible.
Thank you, Vicky. Making a little custom adventure for each of us.
Of course.
Oh my gosh. That's so lovely and amazing.
Did you notice,
it was so fun.
Did you notice that she was on her own in a garden, only relying on herself, and that had become toxic?
Oh no! And I don't think that'll come back to bite Gwathryn in the butt.
I'm sure it wasn't an allegory for the dangers of Gwathryn. Anyway, thank you guys so much. We really appreciate it. Go and live your joyous lives. Be safe and do well. And next week, I believe we will have another one of these intermissions. All right, gang. See you later. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, everybody. Mwah,
mwah, mwah. Bye,
bye. 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 Mwah.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.